Vivian Conley, you were fortunate enough to be in D.C. when Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King delivered his I Have a Dream speech. Tell us how it came to be that you were in the nation's capital for the March on Washington.
I had just graduated from Stevens Lee High School, and I'd spent the summer in Texas with an uncle on my father's side, and I went to Washington to look into going to college there in D.C. with an uncle on my mother's side, and they were military and lived and worked at Walter Reed Hospital. So I went from Texas to D.C. To live with them, and subsequently I was there for that important day.
What was it like for you as a teenager from a small town from Asheville to be in a crowd of 250,000 people in the nation's capital?
I never really thought about how large the crowd was, because when you were involved in the crowd, there was no way to look over the sea of people to see how many people were there. It was only after getting back home and looking at it on TV that you realized how many people were truly there. So, and I didn't feel overwhelmed by the crowd, because it was, you were in different sections and you just kept meeting people, and people were so friendly and forthcoming and introducing themselves, where are you from, and finding out where. And that was the theme of the conversation, basically, where are you from, and different things, and finding out about one another, and just like you were meeting and greeting one another at that rally.
And people came from all over the United States.
They came from all over the United States.
Do you remember where you were standing when Dr. King spoke?
Absolutely. My uncle, living in Washington, he just said, let's leave. Everybody was enjoying themselves. He said, let's start walking early. And we started walking, and I was right at the foot of the steps to the memorial on the right side, and there was a tree. So we had some shade, and so I'll never forget. First thing I remember first is that we had a tree, and it was shade. But we were right at the first step on the right-hand side of the memorial.
It was a very hot day in D.C., not unusual in August in the nation's capital. And Martin Luther King spoke in front of the Lincoln Memorial. Mm-hmm. I've heard a civil rights leader and now Congressman John Lewis say that when people went out to protest in those days, they dressed up. He said many in the crowd wore hats and had on their Sunday best. Is that what you remember?
There were people dressed up, a lot of people dressed up. Everybody was nicely dressed. It was, I think people had respect for clothing in that day. And so they were nicely dressed. We did not have on Sunday clothes, but because my uncle said you need to put on some comfortable shoes. So I remember wearing flat shoes and like a capri pant, they call it today, and top. But there were people with, and with it being so hot, the hats were certainly appropriate. But they did have on, a lot of people wore the hats and heels, and they walked from one point to the other to get to the memorial, to the Lincoln Memorial.
Was it an emotional day for you, or do you think back and find it more emotional, the experience today?
I find it more emotional today, because at that time, prior to going, there was a lot of news reporting that it might be trouble and that the city would be well protected. They were showing you where the points that they would have police protection in case something happened. But I never felt that anything would happen, because I felt like that most of the people there was like I was, because I always knew that Martin Luther King was about peace and nonviolence. And I felt like, and that was the feel of the crowd, and we're here for a peaceful demonstration and no violence. And so you never saw anybody or even a facial expression. Every face was, I'm glad to be here for this day. So I never saw anybody with any negative activity about them whatsoever. So, and never felt threatened. My parents here were worried about whether I was going to be all right, but that was okay, because they were used to me doing that, because from the first time I ever heard Martin Luther King speak, that was it. To me, he was sent from God. I mean, he was just, I said, how does anybody put words together the way he does. And I never heard anybody that could speak the language as Martin Luther King did. And so from day one, I was on board and did march here and did sit in here in the sit-ins here in the city. We went Newberry's Crest, and we would leave Stevens Lee and come uptown and go and sit at the counter, and they would ask us to get up and have us to move. I'll always remember there's a young man and lady now that went to our school, and they were extremely fair. You couldn't tell them from white people. And they went up one day, and we went with them, and they sat at the counter, and they served them. And so then we walked to the counter and ordered a hot dog, and they said, "We don't serve the N-word." And I said, "Well, why did you serve them?" So they asked all of us to leave, but I remember marching down here to Winn-Dixie one afternoon, one day, and my mom was worried about me because I didn't get back home because we were supposed to be there in shifts, but everybody didn't show up, and so I wound up staying to 5 o'clock that afternoon and different other places that we were, but he was truly an idol of mine, and even today, to hear his voice and his speeches is just amazing to me.
So your parents were in Asheville while you were in D.C. Yes. For the March on Washington, mm-hmm. and they were obviously worried about your well-being.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you call them?
I did when I told them we were going, and my dad was sort of a rebel, and my mom was being very concerned, and he says, "Oh, Rosalie, she's going to be fine." But she said, "Be careful." And I said, "Well," and I think she spoke to my uncle and said, "You'd better take care of my baby." But I couldn't wait to get back home to call and tell her that it was just like a beautiful family reunion of all races, colors, and creeds. It was a day to remember forever.
So here it is 50 years later, and it's more emotional today than it was at the time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Probably because I'm older and wiser too, and have lived through things, and seen it for myself, and saw the changes at some point in time. However, I feel like the changes are trying to go backwards these days, but I did see changes and things coming about. But looking back, and sometimes today I look around and I'm saddened. Because I see us reverting as a people, you know, all races reverting back to that point that you would think nobody would ever want to go back to. I mean, it's so much easier to get along.
Do you listen to the speech?
Yes, I do. I mean, there's not a time you could play it that I wouldn't stop and listen. I've been listening to it on the radio station all day. They've been playing it on. With Elder Hayes been playing the speech, and I listen to it when I hear it. I have recordings of the speech, and I think it's a great speech. And his other, I mean, not just that one, but each time he spoke, it was just so inspiring.
Why do you think those four words are so powerful today? I have a dream.
Because the dream is here. But it's not here. And I see us looking for that dream in that day because we have not reached that dream, not the true essence of what he was talking about. The equality is still not equality. It's a form of equality, and it's been hidden in other ways and manners where it comes out in different ways than they used to do things, but the equality is still not here. And so you're still looking for the dream. However, my dream is a heavenly dream now.
But when I say to you, "I have a dream," what do you think about?
Martin Luther King. And you said, "I think about him." And today I think about what would he think of today. And I think the way he pushed and the way he stood and his posture, I feel like he, if he had lived, that the dream may be more of a reality today, that we would actually be living that dream. But he's not here, and things are falling by the wayside.
Dr. King spoke of the need to end racial segregation, but he was also talking about economic equality and social justice that
Absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a total package for me. I mean, it was not just one this phase or that phase, bashing people for the way they treated us. It was speaking to the nation and everybody that, you know, we need to be on the same page because it's beneficial for all of us to be on that same page.
You have grandchildren.
I have grandchildren.
Are they surprised to learn that you were in Washington, D.C. for the March on Washington?
Well, they are, and when I tell them, and it's gone through a series of it because I had one grandchild for 5 years before I had any more, and so she's the older one, the one that drove me here today. And when I told her, when I told her that I was a part of, and I think every year when it comes up, Martin Luther King celebration and remembering his day, I would tell them that, and they said, "You were a grandmother." And my youngest grandchild, Cameron, is 8 now. Last year at school, he was studying Martin Luther King. So when he came home, he was so excited, and he had just sat there intensely, and he could tell me a lot about him. And he just got all into Martin Luther King. And so I said, "Well, Cameron, I was there when he spoke." And he said, "You were a grandmama?" And I said, "Yes." So this year, when they studied him again, he was in the backseat of the car, pick him up on Mondays. And he says, "Grandmother, I wish I had been born so I could have seen you there." And I said, "Cam, that would have been nice, but then I wouldn't be your grandmother." And he said, "Oh, okay." He said, "But can I go to Washington, D.C.?" And I have said that I am going to take him there. And my daughter lives in Atlanta. I said, "We need to take him there," because he says, "I would like to go to Washington, D.C. and see where this took place." And it was just amazing to me that his mind was thinking in that vein.
Would you take him to that very spot where you were standing?
I would take him to that very spot, yes.
Have you been back to that spot?
I haven't been back to the spot. I've been back to Washington, D.C., but I have not been back to that actual spot.
Vivian Conley is a Nashville native. At the age of 17, she was in the nation's capital for the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom 50 years ago. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.